thank you for the opportunity to share tonight. Pastor, I'll be honest with you, when you called me, I think it was Monday night, you called me, I said, yeah, I have something. And actually, I did. And when I got here, I don't want to preach what I want to preach. I want to preach what God wants me to preach. So turn to Matthew chapter 26. One of my greatest fears that I have for myself is quitting. It's quitting. And I'm going to be honest with you, it can happen in a heartbeat. It can happen within a minute. 1 minute I'm doing fantastic. I'm on cloud nine. I'm ready to go for God. I'm ready to go attack the gates of hell and everything. Then the next minute, I can be lower than the snake itself, under his belly. And it scares me. It scares me that I could get that way. And I can know it can happen any minute, any time to any of us. But there's one thing that we all learn. It doesn't happen all at once like that. There's something that's happening in my life and some things that have taken place in my life to make that happen. And I think it happens with everybody, not just me. So if I step on your toes tonight, if I make you mad by something I say, just excuse it because it's God's preaching to me. Okay? Just excuse what I'm saying. Just say, okay, don't apply to me, apply it to David. Okay? So Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. I think Brother David Oliver did a fantastic job preaching on Peter. And I'm going to turn this thing on real quick. And he did a fantastic job preaching on Peter. But you know, God touched my heart a couple weeks ago and this past weekend and everything, and was sharing, and this is the message I told you I had on Monday night. But I was trying to change it to something else. I was trying to change it to something else. But then when you got up and you started talking before the service, God laid it on like, no, you better do this. And but Matthew chapter 26, verse 73, and I'll get there in a second when I get there, if I get to the right page. Here we go. And it says, after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Listen, and then it says, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, verse 75, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Listen, this here is a bad point, the lowest point. And I don't know if how many of you have been there, but I've been there. I've been to the lowest point, done some things. I said, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I acted that way. I can't believe I responded that way. And I felt so bad for what I had done. But Peter didn't start off there, and neither had I. But see, I had to realize something. I didn't start off there. Until I can remember and realize where I started at, where I started going backwards, then I can return and get back to where I need to be. See, until you go back to where you finished, where you messed up, not that point, because that point is not where you've messed up at. Where you got down that low, that's where you messed up, but that's not how you got there. Okay? When you got down that low, you did a mistake, you did whatever you've done wrong, that's not how you got to that point. That's what happened because of the steps before that point. Now, if you look back a little bit, you go back in chapter 26, verse 31. Chapter 26, verse 31, and it says, then said Jesus unto them, Ye all shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will come before you into Galilee. And look at verse 33. It says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. You know, Peter's pride. You see, the first thing I hate to say it, we all have it. Let me tell you, you get on someone's child, you'll find out the mom's pride real quick. The child can be dead wrong, and you'll find out the mom's pride real quick because she's coming after you. It's like an old banty rooster in a hen house. Man, you mess with the chicks, and they're coming after you. That's that pride. My child can't do no wrong. My child couldn't do nothing bad. That's that pride. That's the way Peter was. What do you mean, Jesus? No, everybody else can leave you, but not me. I'm going to be right there. I'm not going to leave you. No way. That's that pride. Pride in himself. You think, well, man, that's a good statement to make. He's not going to leave Jesus, but that's that pride. Doesn't matter what it's for. It's still the pride. Pride cometh before a great fall. See, it's that pride. It's that pride. So we see the first step he makes, he has pride. Now, this next one, I'm going to give you a little example. I want to thank God for being able to teach in junior church. I want to thank God for the godly people that we work with, Brother Calvin and Miss Buffy. They've taught me so much stuff while we've been in there. You know, tonight we prayed. I don't know what y'all do down there, but every night, all the prayer requests that I heard down here, our junior class gives every Wednesday night. You'll hear them repeat some of these prayers that we're prayed about down here are asked for upstairs. They're praying for them. But you know what else? They care. They care. You say, well, they're only juniors. They care. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I have to ask Brother Calvin. I said, Brother Calvin, was I too mean to him? So I hope you don't get offended by what I'm going to do to y'all in a minute. Look in chapter 26, Matthew 26. We'll probably stay in Matthew most of the time. In verse 40. And it says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch and pray with me 1 hour? You know what one of the other parts was? His prayer life. His prayer life. Now, if I can get you, I'm going to give you an example. You know what? I believe prayer life and the Word of God is equal. I believe if you read, you can pray all you want to pray. But if you don't read your Bible, it's like having a one-sided conversation. God can't answer you. Maybe that's what you want. Then you don't get the right answer. You get the answer you want, the one you come up with. But if you reading your Bible and you're not praying, it's the same thing. We get our power from prayer. That's part of it. It's not one thing. You do one thing and that's all you do. So if I can get everybody to stand up, I want you to take your strongest hand, the hand that you write with. If I can get you to stand up, if you can, take your Bible, put it in your strongest hand. I did this to the kids. Put your Bible in your strongest hand and hold it out just like we're going to read the Bible for the first time on Sunday morning. You're going to stand. We're going to read the Word of God. Now I want you to turn to John 3:16, but wait before you do it. Your left hand or your right hand, whichever is the weakest, put it behind your back. Now turn your Bible. That's trying to do it without prayer. You can't do it. The kids are going to try to do it. They were all trying to do everything. You can't do it. You cannot turn your Bible and hold it and turn it without prayer. You need prayer. You need prayer in your life. See, Peter had forgotten about prayer. He had forgotten. You can sit down. He had forgotten about prayer. I didn't have anybody say they could do it. I had some on Tristan and Andrew back there. I seen them. They were trying. They were laughing and trying to do it. Miss Betty, Sunday morning, she gave up. She said, oh, I can't do it. I give up. She gave up. But that's what it is. That's what our lives are when we don't pray. We have to pray. And not only pray for what we want, we pray for others. But we get an answer from our prayers through the Word of God. If we just pray and we don't read the Word of God, we don't get any answers. Or we're just getting the ones we want. So prayer is the most important part. We have to watch our pride. See, Peter's pride had gotten up there. Then when he was supposed to be praying, he wasn't praying. He wasn't taking the time to pray. I'm not sure what kind of day they had. I know they went just a little further. They were going up on a hill. Probably if I had to walk up a mountain, I'd know when I get to the top, I'm going to want to sit down too. But I don't know how the rest of their day went. But you know, if you're so tired that you ain't got time to pray, you know what you need to do? Get something out of your life. Take something out of your life so that you can pray. If you haven't got time to read your Bible, take something out of your life. Take something out of your life because it's important. It's important. If you don't pray and read your Bible, you know what's going to happen? You're going to quit. You're going to quit. You're not going to have the relationship that you're supposed to have with Christ. You may pray every day. You know, when you witness to somebody, a lot of times that's what you'll hear. Well, I pray every day. Do you read your Bible? Because when you're praying, you're just getting a one-sided conversation. You know, if I did all the talking and my wife never said anything back, after a while she'd get a little aggravated about it. And she never had a chance to answer me back. Or if she did all the talking and I never got a chance to answer, I'd say, wait a minute, there's something going on here. Hey, we got to stop this. But we got to pray and we got to read our Bible. Peter wasn't praying, at least not when he was supposed to be, not when he was asked to. Peter didn't pray. So we see his pride, his prayerlessness. Also, look in Matthew 26:58, we see his position. His position, turn one too many pages, Matthew 26:58, and it is right here. There it is. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You know where Peter was? He was afar off. When we first, the very first verse I gave you under pride, what did he say? I won't leave you. I'm going to be right there beside you. Where was he at? With that verse, you would have thought, okay, he's going to stand toe-to-toe right there with Jesus, right there, right in the palace. He's going to stand right beside him. He's going to make everybody know that I stand for this guy. But where was he? He was afar off. You can be right in church and be afar off. You don't, just because you're here don't make you right with God. Don't make you have the right relationship you're supposed to have. You can be afar off. He snuck in and got in the back air in the back room. He was sitting beside the servants just to see what was going to happen. You can be afar off and be right in the middle of the church. Be sitting in the front row and be afar off. Your position. Where is your position at with Christ? Where are you at? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? See, our relationship, prayer, and reading your Bible, that's all that is a relationship with Christ. That's talking, having a communication with him, having a dialogue with him. Where's your position at? Are you standing beside him to where you can talk to him? Are you standing toe-to-toe and standing with him for what he stands for? Are you standing with him? Where's your position with him? The last one is in Matthew 26, verse 69. The last point I have, and believe me, this is a lot shorter than what the kids got on Sunday. Now, Peter sat without into the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. You know, there was a key word in there. And I just mentioned relationship. You know, God created us to have a relationship with him. And when we're not having the correct relationship with God, you know what we'll do? Because we were created to have a relationship, you know what we'll do? We'll try to fill that void with a relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. We'll try to fill that void. Because we want to have a relationship with something. With something. You take people, they'll get involved in something. You know why? Because they got to be involved in something. They want to do something. They got to be, God has made us that way. We're people of activity. We want to do something. We're going to do something. We're going to have a relationship with something. Some people claim the whales, the polar bears, the trees, the sky, everything. But you know what? We want to have a relationship. And here's Peter. He's sitting, but he's sitting with the wrong crowd. When he gets the opportunity to stand for Christ, he denies. You know why? Because he wants to fit into that crowd that he's sitting with. You say, oh, not me, not me. It may not be. You may be old enough not to, but I guarantee you there's every child in here won't. There's children in here, they want so much to be part of a group or part of this or have this friend or have that friend, and that child will choose what they do by who they're hanging out with. You be careful who your children are hanging out with. Because if you're not careful, they could be even in the church. We've got some juniors in our junior class that's got some goals. They need to find another junior in that class that has the same kind of goals and go and be friends with them. Because you know what? The ones that have the same goals are going to be going together. I know y'all old enough. The kids couldn't remember this. Birds of a feather flock together. Two peas in a pod. Well, that goes true with kids. And it goes true with adults, too. You'll be like who you hang around. You got to be careful who you hang around. Here you find Peter. He's afar off from Jesus. And now he's denying Christ. Why? Because he's hanging around the group that wasn't standing with Christ to begin with. Now, I don't know where the other, some of you might say, well, the other disciples, they weren't even nowhere near. I told Brother Calvin earlier, I said, they may not have been near, but they probably were all together. I'm just going to guess. That's just my opinion. They're probably all together, and they were all probably praying for Jesus. But see that prideful guy, the one that said, I can make it, I can do it, I'm going to stand with you, Jesus, no matter what, I can do it. He wasn't with the right crowd. And instead of praying and standing with Jesus, he was denying Jesus. You be careful who you hang out with. You be careful who you're hanging out with. Both times, he comes to them, and them. See, we want to be a part of something. And you're going to want to be a part of whoever you're hanging around. And whoever you feel like that you want to impress. You take these kids, they're so impressionable. They get the wrong idol, the wrong person to look up to, and they're going to strive to be like that person. You take them, and they're going to do the wrong things, just having goals. Some of them in our Sunday school class, if they've got a goal that they want to do their Sunday school work and they're going to learn their Bible verses, you know what? They ought to be having friends that do that. Because the friends that don't do that, you know what they'll do? They'll do the same as their friends are doing. They won't do it either. See, we have to make decisions. Peter had to make a decision to deny Christ or stand for him. We're going to have to make a decision also. Are we going to accept him as our Savior? See, we have to make those decisions too. We have to make a decision if we're going to accept him as our Savior. Are we going to stand? You know, nowadays it's a little hard to go witness sometimes because people have done said, you know, COVID's changed everything. COVID's changed everything. You can't go witness. You can't knock on doors. You can't do this. People don't want to hear it. All these excuses. Even if you mention church, that you're afraid people's going to make fun of it or say something bad about Christ or something. But see, we have to make a decision. Are we going to do like Peter did because of the people who were around? Or are we going to stand? Are we going to stand for Christ? See, if it's the people who were around, that'll tell us what we do. My biggest fear is, and, you know, we all try to witness. My biggest fear is I'll become a friend of somebody that'll convince me one day that it's not worth it. Or my pride getting in my way, to where I can't do what I can't rely on Christ, that I can do it on my own. Or I don't pray enough and don't have the right relationship with God that And I'm okay with that. And my position, just being comfortable with the way I am and not striving to be even closer to God. That's my fear. See, if I'm not striving to be closer to God, I might quit. I'll backslide and quit and not even know it. I can be coming to church every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and still not have a relationship with God like I should have it. Because my position is wrong. I'm not striving to get closer to Him. After, oh Lord, now my mind went blank, honey. 36? Probably not. 36 years? Our marriage. She didn't know either. Good. 37 this June? July. June. Your birthday, you're going to be 37, right? She's going to be 37 in her birthday, okay? But I hope our relationship has gotten better after 37 years than when I first got saved. If I've been saved for 37 years, I hope it's gotten better. Just like I hope my marriage relationship has gotten better. See, that's we are. We ought to strive to be better. And let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for all that you allow us to do. God, I thank you for everyone that's here. And God, I pray that you just work in our hearts, dear Lord. Help us to remember, dear God, that none of us are above quitting and none of us, and everything that we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.